Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Welcome, friends, to Unlocked. It is the world's number one Xbox show, episode 305 for July 19th, 2017. It's the middle of summer, still plenty to talk about. Coming up this week, big news out of BioWare, a studio shift at the top an old friend coming back to assume a new and bigger role. Plus, Kingdom Hearts 3 gets a release window?
Very large window.
But it's something. We've got some new features coming to Xbox Live and a lot more. A reminder that if you enjoy Unlocked, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/IGNUnlocked, or pick us up on your podcast service of choice if you prefer the audio route. I'm Ryan McCaffrey. To my right, making her Unlocked debut from IGN's entertainment team in Los Angeles up here for the last couple days, Terry Schwartz.
Thanks for having
me. So lovely to have you.
I was very happy that you asked me to be on.
You've been like the Nick Fury of all the podcasts this week.
I've just been appearing. Here's a little bit of a background. Ever since I was the rare American person to be on the IGN UK show, I realized I was like, my new quest is to slowly appear on every single IGN podcast. My white whale is Fireteam Chat. I will break Destiny, Gary, and Friend Arabella. It will happen. They laughed my face at E3. I actually went up because for like 30 seconds, Zach Ryan was like, hey, you're going to be on Fireteam Chat. And then he was like, nope, that seat's for a Bungie person. And I walked up to Fran as they were setting up Fireteam Chat. And I was like, hey, so Fran, you want me on it? You want me on it? He goes, Terry, this is Deech. I was like, I've never met you before. Bye. So I was so happy that you let me on.
Absolutely. It's like I have a bucket list of visiting every Major League Baseball stadium. Uh-huh. Yours is much probably more fun. But
yours might be more achievable, Destin.
Oh. We'll make it happen. We can.
Okay.
I'm just going to hide behind this desk and then they'll come in. Like, I won't make it to Comic-Con. I'm just going to be like waiting here for them to come in and just be like, you're live. I'm here. You can't leave me out.
You're just spinning. I like this plan. Yeah.
Come out with a cat, too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, no, is there a live cat living in this room? Somewhere.
Anything can happen when San Diego Comic-Con is happening because everyone's gone.
Yes. Marty Sleva, always good to see you.
Hey, good to see you.
And star of the IGN show on Disney XD, Miranda Sanchez.
Hi.
Welcome back. Good to see you. That's actually what I wanted to talk about real quick. Yes, just going to navel gaze here for a second. We're on television.
Yes.
Well,
we're not on television right now.
Miranda's on television.
Did you know
every
that
night. We could all be on television if you have a Chromecast and then you stream it to your television. And then
that's true. I have a radio face, which is why I'm here, and that's
and
why you're on television
as well.
Well, God's compensation.
Yes, uh-huh.
This, but then okay, all right, we're gonna help him out a little bit. So,
if you are watching us on Chromecast right now,
so sorry.
Please tweet at Ryan McCaffrey.
No, don't. So, Miranda, what is going on the IGN show? It's on Disney XD. They have a new nightly. Sort of almost an Adult Swim-ish type of thing where it's like it's nighttime programming that's maybe not quite as it's a slightly higher age demographic, right?
Right. So starting at 9 Monday through Friday, Disney XD becomes, as they say, Disney XP, which is like their games block. So it's us, and I think Waypoint has a show like that's kind of video game documentaries. Mm-hmm. There's a show called Attack, and there's some esports thing.
Don't plug
them. But the most important thing you know is at 9:30 our show happens.
9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. Is that correct?
Yes.
No. It's 9:30. It's 9:30 wherever you are.
Wherever you are. Okay, my bad.
Like two different channels, so it's like 9:30 regardless.
Gotcha.
But if you do not have Disney XD, which if you do, please watch it there. But if you
ratings
don't,
ratings are important.
Yeah, like it just support the show. Like we're doing this for Disney XD. So if you watch it, it might be totally a little different from what we do. It skews a little bit younger, but that's because it's for Disney XD, and so it's for that audience. But like I said, if you do not have Disney XD. You can catch it the next day it airs on the IGNshow.com.
So easy.
Yeah, yeah, and the show is like, I mean, we watched the pilot yesterday, yeah. Everyone did, and it's shot, a bunch of it's shot at the office, so you get a flavor of what the office is like. There's a bunch of packages from events. We're doing stuff at Comic-Con, there was stuff at VidCon, Anime Expo.
So excited for the Anime Expo
stuff.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
We worked really hard. Yeah. I mean, we've worked really hard on all of this, so
yeah.
I really
you guys
will check it out.
You guys killed it.
Yeah, we even snuck in a little, some of the Destiny 2 IGN first stuff we've got going on. There was actually something that debuted on the Disney, on the IGN show on Disney.
Yeah, and that's, so. And that's part, the show is partly the reason Alana hasn't been on this show in a little
yes.
bit.
Sorry, Alana.
Preoccupied. RIP.
Yes, rest indeed.
But I just love that, you know, you have Hilary Duff, you have Miley Cyrus, and now you have Miranda Sanchez,
hey.
Naomi Kyle.
So did you guys know that I'm going to be the second Miranda Sanchez on Disney?
What?
Well, but the best Miranda Sanchez on
Disney. And Lizzie McGuire, there's a character named Miranda Sanchez, and I'm just like, I got to reclaim my SEO.
Yes.
So if you look at Miranda Sanchez Disney, eventually it'll be
that's
me.
The most inside right. baseball thing I've it's ever really heard dumb. You say. I've got to reclaim my SEO.
I appreciate
we trained you well.
Because people are like... Oh, Miranda Sanchez, like Lizzie McGuire. I'm like, no, like me. I existed before she.
I like that. That's your lower third, Lizzie McGuire.
Yeah, yeah. Lizzie McGuire.
I appreciate the personal quest to just to just eradicate the original yeah. Miranda Sanchez character.
Yeah. Sorry, Lalaine, yeah. You're out.
All right, let's get to it. There is not a lot to talk about quantity wise, but quality wise, we've got a couple of big stories this week, and I want to start. With one that mercifully broke a couple hours before we recorded
yeah.
instead
yeah.
of after.
And we're recording on Tuesday. Usually, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
yeah. It's well. Just it all came together for once. And that is a shakeup at the top. I don't know, shakeup, such a like National Enquirer yeah. way to put it. But it is a change at the top of BioWare. So, Aaron Flynn, who'd been the studio general manager for the last number of years, he has stepped aside. And replacing him is a very, very familiar name, Casey Hudson, who if you're like, hey, I think I know who that is, he basically has worked on every major BioWare game up through when he left after Mass Effect 3. Most importantly, I mean, Mass Effect is Casey Hudson's baby. He was the project director on that series and also – where I first became aware of him and like, oh, this guy is clearly onto something. Star Wars: Knights of the Old Republic, the original, mm-hmm. was also his baby. So he will be taking over. What do we think of this? This is a you know bringing the old veteran back in
yeah.
to lead the team.
So Casey left. What was it? 2 or 3 years ago?
I think a little more.
And he went. And so he was the final thing he was working on were the early stages of what became Anthem.
Yes.
And then he left and went to Microsoft, and we never played any of his games.
Yeah. So he was working on HoloLens stuff. That was his thing there, and I'm sure he had his reasons. He had said he wanted to spend more time with his family, and I presume HoloLens probably didn't involve a lot of crunch time.
No.
You know, because it's just not how...
Plus, you can wear it and also spend time with your family because you can see them as Conkers jumping in your room.
That's true. Conker Jr. Marty.
Ooh.
Get it together. Yeah. He doesn't swear.
Well, I'm curious,
no F-word.
Ryan, this is a little bit of speculation, but how much do you think the reception to Mass Effect Andromeda led to Aaron leaving and maybe Casey coming back?
I'm glad you brought it up because I mean, it sure, the timing of it suggests that even if Aaron left of his own volition, I'm not one to sit here and start rumors, but I mean, they just had a very, I don't want to call it disastrous showing because the game was good. It was decent.
The
it just
problem
wasn't
is
great.
It was a Mass Effect game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. That was the problem.
Yeah. But, yeah. So what I will say this is, for all intents and purposes, let's phrase it this way. Mass Effect's reputation was decimated.
Yeah.
And that was arguably BioWare's single biggest franchise.
Yeah.
Since, I mean, the Old Republic kind of churns along as their MMO out of their Austin studio, although that's obviously a licensed IP. Star Wars, it's not their franchise. And then Dragon Age has had three good entries. But
I played way too much Dragon Age Inquisition.
Me too.
Like,
I love
every
it so
single
much.
IGN's
side quest.
Game of the Year 2014.
Yeah.
But Mass Effect clearly was the when you thought of BioWare, you thought of Mass Effect, and with everything going as south as it did with the release and the glitches and the choices and you know all the things you can point to that we've hashed out a number of times on this show, I gotta figure that there was a conversation. Either Aaron went, maybe I should step aside, or maybe EA management kind of went, maybe we should talk to – maybe let's call up Casey and see if he's bored of this whole HoloLens thing yet. And then maybe – you know, I'm not suggesting – I'm sure it was pretty amicable no matter what it was. Yeah. I'm not suggesting that Aaron was forced out, but the timing of this is
I'm curious to see how much of a creative reset this might cause to be whatever Mass Effect does next. You know what I mean? Because obviously Andromeda was them trying to do something different. It didn't necessarily work the way that they had hoped to. Like, does he just fix what maybe didn't work about that? Or do you go back to sort of a new, different iteration of Mass Effect again?
I mean, just saying that they said they're going to put a big old pause in Mass Effect for a while.
Right.
So I don't think we'll know for...
And so we don't know. Like, obviously... I think the game Anthem is now that we saw at E3 is probably, I'm sure some of the skeleton of what he was working on 3 years ago is there, but the game development is iterative and this game is a very different beast than it was then. And so I have a feeling his thumbprint isn't going to really be that heavily on Anthem.
I agree.
But the question is what's their next big thing? So what is he going to be working on from the ground up? And is that going to be Mass Effect, or is that going to be something Star Wars related?
Oh, he is the studio head, so he's probably not going to be directing any games again anytime soon. But you're right. He will absolutely leave a thumbprint on everything from here forward. I really think that it could flip one of two ways. My first thought was, and we've said this before, but now it's like super actually true and possible. They made BioWare made Knights of the Old Republic, which is my single favorite role playing game of all time. EA owns BioWare. EA has the Star Wars license, and Casey Hudson is back at BioWare.
Yeah,
maybe after we know sort of it's not and not we like we can't say anything, but it's pretty much from job listings and that one, the writer.
Dragon Age.
We know Dragon Age is in development for Dragon Age 4. So I have to imagine that Anthem, because it is a Destiny-like game as a service, the development team on that's probably going to stay on that project for a long, long time, which means what BioWare's next thing is probably going to be what it will be after Dragon Age 4 is done, which probably won't be for a while because it's not even announced. Could it be KOTOR 3?
Here's my question, though, and why I think no. Can they? Disney owns Lucasfilm now, which they didn't when the first two were made. And it has such a tight fist on that IP that we know that KOTOR is not canon. And I don't think they're making anything that's a non-canon.
You're crushing my dreams.
I know. You were saying this, and I was like, no. But I mean, there are so many Star Wars games in development. Why not have someone like Casey help lead a Star Wars game that is spiritually similar to KOTOR, even if it is not within that universe?
I mean, they could do that.
A canonical reboot?
Or less like, I don't know, it needs to be KOTOR in spirit, not necessarily in name or in era. We don't need that Old Republic era to make a great game. And yeah, there are a ton of really interesting Star Wars games in development with Amy Hennig's game and Battlefront 2 and whatever. What's the Jade Raven's... Respawn's working on.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, that's, and so we assume that's a third-person action game. But none of those games are giant open RPGs.
That is true.
What BioWare has been known for. So, in this post-Disney world, I would love a giant open canonical game.
And if you're EA and you've got, wasn't it a 10-year licensing agreement?
I think they signed a couple years back,
So, you know, you'd want to theoretically get the most out of that deal by creating as many good Star Wars games as you can in order to convince Disney to extend that license.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we've seen Disney do that with Marvel as well, right? They're like, we will partner with anyone who is a good, smart partner for us. So you see in games like they have an Insomniac Spider-Man that's non-MCU, but still like, you know, a good partner. And they have like so many different TV shows in development that I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, yes, we would love to have like a BioWare and Star Wars game.
It's funny you say that because that's exactly how KOTOR came to be in the first place. That was in the era when LucasArts was making kind of crappy Star Wars games internally, and they finally went, why don't we just find some really cool developers and let them make Star Wars games? And that's where Jedi Knight 2 from Raven came from, and that's where Knights of the Old Republic came from BioWare.
What's interesting, too, is that while Disney is sort of struggling a little bit with how to tell its side stories in movies, like with these companion movies like Rogue One, and then Han Solo obviously has had some issues, and the Boba Fett one that – or if whatever Josh Trank was working on didn't end up being, they've done a really good job, I think, in games. We've seen that in – especially in Battlefront 2's story mode that is taking place between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens. From the Sith perspective, that's very compelling and interesting. And I think something they haven't gone back in mind again are like the Old Republic days that they could. But how do you do that? Have it be canon and have it not totally conflict with what you already did with KOTOR.
My question about that canon thing is, could BioWare even make a canonical game? Because the whole thing about a BioWare game is you ultimately define who your character is. So if my protagonist goes to the dark side and yours goes to the light side, those both can't be canon?
I think they could do it.
Yeah. Well, what about the Old Republic?
Was that all canon? Yeah, I guess is the Old Republic canon?
It was deemed not canon.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah, which is
the
problem.
But it still exists.
It still exists, but then again, like, so do all the expanded universe.
It's not like they went out and hunted it down and burned it.
Right. Could you imagine, like, a Star Wars book burning, like everything that's not
canon? Order 66.
Order 1313.
Oh, still too soon.
No, yeah, I think they could absolutely do something like that. Like, there's tons of narrative ways they can build on the canon without having and have like that player choice aspect without hurting the rest of the
story. Sure.
We've also seen them pull in things like Thrawn and make them canon when they weren't. So maybe they're just like, hey, welcome back, Casey. Yeah. We love KOTOR. Now everything KOTOR is canon.
Yeah.
Like,
make
KOTOR 3.
Yeah.
So there's still hope for you.
Aaron said there were separate blog posts, one from each person here, posted on BioWare's site today. Aaron said, I've been contemplating changes in my own life for some time, but when I heard that Casey had confirmed he was up for the task, I realized the opportunities before us. I will be working with him over the next couple of weeks to help catch him up and do my part to set him up for success to be the best GM he can be. And then Casey said, I needed some time off, needed a bit of a change. And he's referring to when he left the studio a few years ago and wanted to get involved in the new wave of disruptive technologies that were emerging. There's HoloLens. The last few years have been transformative for me, from having time to reflect on what I most want to do to working with new technologies at platform scale. And now I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to return to lead BioWare, a studio that I think of as home. So I do agree. I was speaking wishfully, but I do agree that KOTOR 3 is probably pretty unlikely for a number of reasons. But I do genuinely think that after Dragon Age 4 – Casey won't be the project director, but I think that is when they will go back to Mass Effect. Mm-hmm. You guys think so, or you think they'll?
I think they have to go back. They will,
and that will be long enough from now.
Yeah,
because if Anthem is next year, probably
it's not. Spoiler alert: there's no way.
Just like the next game we're going to talk about is next year, right? I would imagine that they go back to Mass Effect after Dragon Age.
I wish Destin were here to freak out a little bit. But no, he bailed on the show.
Because of the Destiny.
Because of his other obsession.
There's this little thing called we finally can all play Destiny 2. Except for us.
You know what I'm
here and doing comic.
Terry, you don't talk over me. I like you better than Destiny.
Yeah, there's a lot of Johnny Crosstalk last week.
It's fun, though.
Yeah, it was fun. Absolutely fun.
This is funny. We brought this up just as a weird aside. Like, there's a thing at IGN where people leave and then they do another job for a while and then they come back. Like Andrew Goldfarb left for a little bit and came back. Scott Lowe, Caleb Blossom. This happens a lot in games too. So this is like Corey isn't the first person to do this. You had Corey Barlog, who is the creative director of God of War 2, left and he went to, I think, Crystal Dynamics and then came back and he's directing the new one.
That's right.
And we had Clint Hawking of Splinter Cell and Far Cry 2 leaving Ubisoft, going to Valve. Having a similar vacuum of you're so creative, but I haven't seen a single thing you've done. And now he's back at Ubisoft Toronto.
For all we know, he like 90% finished Half-Life 3, and then Valve went, forget it.
No doubt that there are several nearly finished Half-Life 3s, Half-Lives 3 out there.
So
many Half-Lives.
Three lives.
Yeah.
My dream is that we will see the reveal of Half-Life 3 at Dota's International. Because Gabe comes out and he says something at the opening night, and like there's a huge performance, and like, and I just want him to say, oh yeah, and Half-Life 3 is a thing, and then just walk off.
Just, and it's, just drop them.
But it's a MOBA.
Yeah, but then I'll be there and be like, Miranda, what's going on? I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm on vacation.
Everyone just, starts vomiting in the audience when they say it's a MOBA. Like, no!
Gosh, everyone would lose it.
All right. Let's move on here to the other big story of the week from coming out of D23, yeah. Which... the LA team was a big part of down there. Seemed like D23 was huge this year.
Well, Disney doesn't F around. Yeah. Disney is like, we will own everything, going back to the Lucasfilm of it all. We know how to give a good show. And yeah. They did. Like, they closed out that panel. I was there. Like, they closed it out with Kingdom Hearts 3, I believe, and like that 2018 thing that everyone, I would say, is very skeptical. But here's my thing, right? People have been waiting for Kingdom Hearts 3 for what, 13 years?
Since Kingdom Hearts 2, yeah.
So, yeah, since Kingdom Hearts 2, appropriately. teasing you.
Oh, shut up. Sorry. I didn't pick up on it until you literally said it. I'm like, oh,
but I mean, you've been waiting for so long. You don't need to reveal that date.
Yeah.
But you do. And yes, I think if they're like, listen, we need to wait until 2019 to make it that much better a game, like Breath of the Wild or something, you will. But like, you don't need to say 2018.
I don't want them to just play around. It's like, no, just tell us the real date.
Yeah.
And if you don't have them, then don't tell us.
If there's one thing I've learned from Kingdom Hearts titles, is that numbers don't matter. Well, 2018 doesn't matter.
Very true. Yeah. I don't really believe it. And if it is 2018, it's be like late 2018. Yeah. I don't suspect them doing anything early. Yeah. And I really hope they don't, because there's already a lot at the beginning of 2018.
Now, I'm curious, because so much has changed with Disney since Kingdom Hearts 3 started development.
And that was their big announcement, too.
Yeah.
Like Pixar.
Yeah. You know, the Disney buying Star Wars, and now there's all this new stuff. It's like, I wonder if Kingdom Hearts 3 survives only because of some sort of pre-existing contractual agreement, or if there's actually this renewed energy going into it. I mean, what was unveiled was Toy Story World, which looks incredible, by the way. Like, so I saw a side by side that somebody did of a still of
Toy Story,
the original movie, and then a still of this game, and the game looks either the same or slightly better.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So we finally hit that PlayStation 2 moment.
Yeah.
Well, that was what was really interesting. I had a chance to talk to Tetsuya Nomura at D23,
so cool.
Which like just like
so
brought
many
that
zippers.
In. So you can find a lot of that coverage on the site. But he was talking about the reason why he's most excited about Kingdom Hearts 3 is that the technology has finally caught up to where they can deliver on all those earlier promises. So they can have those worlds look like the worlds that they're taken from. And additionally, you'll notice in the trailer, like, you can have more characters playing with Sora. So
yeah,
they can have
members.
Four. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
They had Buzz and Woody in were your companions, and Donald and Goofy were still there. That's the dumbest sentence. But it's just awesome that you don't have to choose and swap them out.
Yeah. I was like, oh, wait, who do I love less?
Yeah.
Donald or Goofy.
Like, and I think they're going to be playing around with a lot of other different play styles as well. Like, you see in that trailer that Sora is in like a mech suit, basically,
yeah,
and it's like
shop.
A little Titanfall. Yeah. And so we were talking a little bit about that and how there are supposed to be sort of like event areas in each level that allow you to play around with different other play styles that are sort of unique to those
worlds. Yeah, stand by for Toyfall.
That's what it looked like. Yeah, and you were jacking the mechs and everything.
Yeah,
and
jumping between different ones and taking them over and then just leaving. And
which, I mean, if you're like finally, since that cliffhanger at the end of Kingdom Hearts 2 that people have been waiting for, okay, what comes next? And then every other game, like, I just got annoyed. I didn't even play any of the side games. I was like, oh, another one that's not Kingdom Hearts 3, and now I'm so far removed from that franchise because I've been waiting for like half my life. But I think that what is really exciting is that they will be able to make good on those and hopefully like have the fact that it's coming to all these next gen consoles really feel like a big update since Kingdom Hearts 2.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
PlayStation 2 to
like
modern
consoles. It's crazy.
They skipped an entire generation.
Yep. Yeah, they did.
But also, like, they still insist, like, the logo is always still for Xbox One, even though they said, you pressed them on this, that none of the other games have ever been on a Microsoft system. And they have these collections. Like, in theory, you can play all of the old games via three collections, I think, on PS4, but that just doesn't exist for Microsoft, and I feel like it would make sense for them to port that over.
I'll say.
So here is what he said. He said, if we announce anything Switch, like the 2.5 or 1.5 on Xbox One, people will flip their lid because we already think that it's not going to come out in 2018. He's like, we will not do any of that until after this game comes out, and then when the game comes out, maybe.
Just give it
makes sense.
Blue
they
points.
Just want
to do a port studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, put it out now to ease the weight.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think it would have made most sense if they had on Xbox. Like, hey, you didn't have a PlayStation growing up. Here's this entire collection on Xbox. Like, that would have been fantastic. But I kind of feel a little smart for not finishing Kingdom Hearts 2. Because, like, I restarted it twice in school and I never finished it. And now I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go replay it now.
Yeah.
And refresh my mind.
There you go.
Ready to go. But that's, like, also nice that they give us.
I wonder if it's aged well.
I like love and hate the 2018 thing because now we're all like, okay, now's the time. If you missed it, start playing.
You have until December 31st.
Yeah.
2018 at the minimum.
But it's also like, what's going on with that Final Fantasy remake? What's going on with Final Fantasy 7?
Oh, man, I'm playing that one right now. It's good.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about it last week.
Yeah.
We can't talk about that.
That's not here. Anyway.
So I have two questions for this panel with regard to Kingdom Hearts 3. One, was the D23 video enough? Do you even want to see anything else of that game? Now, you know, like, because Toy Story is awesome, could have been even more awesome as a surprise playing the game.
Sure.
Do you even want to see anything, number one? And number two, do you believe the 2018 date?
Well, I mean, like, revealing Toy Story first, I think, makes most sense because we already saw Hercules stuff and then going to...
Then we saw Rapunzel.
Right.
Big Hero 6.
And then they've announced Big Hero 6, but we didn't see anything. Yeah.
And then going to Toy Story. So, like, those are, I guess, not new enough to be... Aside from Big Hero 6, I think, which is kind of a little bit of a surprise because I don't think it's as big, but I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I think they want to keep like the really big, cool places under wraps, and I hope they continue to do that and just show us stuff from the things they've already announced, because I think what's one of the biggest exciting things is seeing the world revealed.
I mean, and all of us are you talked about how much Disney's changed since 2002, I guess, when the series started.
Yeah.
And yes, obviously Pixar was a huge acquisition, but also Star Wars and Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, Big Hero 6, I guess, is a Marvel property.
Yes.
But like,
Marvel, Disney, like Disney animation.
Yeah, yeah. But like, are we going to see a Star Wars world in this game? And would that be something that they would like reveal at Celebration? Or is that something that they'd reveal while you're playing the game? It's like, holy crap, we went to the Death Star.
Our resident Kingdom Hearts fan, Jonathan Dornbush, thinks that those characters might come in via summons.
I could see that.
Where I guess like Simba was that example. I want to see a lot more story trailers. I think it's cool that they've leaned into the world and people have been asking about Pixar since Disney acquired Pixar. Mm-hmm. So that is great. And D23 was the perfect place to show that. But I really want to get a better sense of what the story is, especially since like so much of the tags at the end of the trailer have been like, yo, Sora wants to revive like Roxas and can there be, Shadow
and a nobody.
And that was actually something I think made it into our coverage. It was really interesting too. I sort of asked Tetsuya Nomura like what his process was in determining which worlds to bring in, and he's like, we sort of start with what we want to do in each world. We figure out which franchises can do that, like if we have a forest level and like flying, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then we figure out which we think would be like the best way to convey them. And he said they are going to try and lean on a lot more new worlds because he thinks people have been waiting. People have been waiting so long for this game that you don't want to go back and replay like Aladdin or anything.
Done those. They're like the Hoth levels of Kingdom Hearts. Yeah.
Frozen 2 is due out in like what, 2019, 2020? So I think same time Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to come out.
How convenient. I feel like
we didn't ask your second answer. Your second question.
I feel like the whole, like to go full Inception on this, they just need to have one of the worlds be Wreck-It Ralph. And then through that, you just go to all these other video games, and that's when the world just ends.
That'd be too much.
Yeah.
Everything just explodes.
Everything shuts off.
I do love like the classic Disney World, though, and I thought they sort of went through a lot of those. Was there ever a Mulan level?
There was in Kingdom Hearts 1.
Kingdom Hearts 2. Yeah.
Oh, was it 2?
Yep, because I played through that twice, and I remember that I never made through it again.
I am clearly due for a refresh, because every year I've been so indignant, now I'm like, oh, I don't remember much about those games at all.
After a decade, you're fine to forget things.
Okay. I'm like, wait, was it Kingdom Hearts 2? Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was.
I can't remember the games I played a year ago. Yeah. Like, I remember that I played.
I don't know what day it is.
Where are we?
I thought it was Saturday when I woke up, and I was like, oh no, yesterday was Monday.
Yeah.
So, dang it. 2018, yes or no?
I think yes. I'm going to be optimistic.
Yes.
No.
No, Marty. No way.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, I don't know. I haven't been.
Sounds like
I've never played them, to be honest, because I was.
They are on Xbox.
Yeah, I was covering. I was all Xbox specifically back then, and so I haven't been keeping super close track on it. But it's a big project. It's a huge scale. If they won't get more specific than 2018, not super optimistic. But that's fine because I'm making a lot of jokes on this segment. But we've been waiting this long. Polish it. Make it amazing. If that's 2019, fine. There's 7,000 other AAA games that are going to ship in the meantime.
If this comes out as polished as something like Breath of the Wild, I don't think people will be upset.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I just wish games would take more time. Like, we look at Mass Effect Andromeda, and I'm just like, this game needed another year or something. Like, they were working so hard on it after it came out, too. And like, you can just tell like the quality difference between the end and the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, if you just like look how the first level is designed versus everything else you do, like, it's just so much different.
Yeah. It just annoys me that so much a process of game development is day one patch. Yeah. And I get it. Like, the process of making a video game sounds absolutely miserable. Yeah. Like crunch just sounds like a true nightmare. But I think that like relying on the fact that like, oh, essentially all our players will troubleshoot it for us and then we'll fix the problems. Like, I think that's why Breath of the Wild blew so many people away, is because it came out fully formed. And yes, there were some tweaks that needed to be done. Obviously, like the Switch needed its own tweaks. But I want more games to be able to take the time to come out.
Nintendo's one of the rare exceptions that they're always, it's done when it's done. And when it's done, it's the best it could be.
Yeah. Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
Can't wait. All right. Finally this week, some new features being added to Xbox Live. I thought these were definitely of note. The Xbox Wire blog noting we've got custom gamer picks are up now, club profile picks, backgrounds can be uploaded from your console or through the Xbox app. Also, this is kind of a big deal, honestly. Three people can co-stream from their console using Mixer, which that's a real, and that service, it's like, I feel like the Xbox community knows about it, but more people need to know about how good Mixer is.
Yes.
They had it at E3, or was it? Yeah, it was E3, not IMAX, both. It was the same place. It's very confusing. very hard. And I had no idea what it was. I was like, what is this? And why are the robots less cute? Oh, there's a bunch of robots, and they weren't that cute. And I was like, oh, but they're playing.
Yeah, Beam was a better name, but they couldn't get the trademark or copyright to it in certain territories, so they chose to switch it everywhere.
Yeah, but they're gonna be at Comic-Con streaming from Mixer as well. But this three-person co-op stream is really interesting to me. Like, that's sort of just like, you can obviously do that using other services, but the fact that like one of the things about Mixer is it's built in and it's simple.
Yeah,
that's nice.
It's like idiots like me can use it, which is great.
Yeah,
I know. I'm like, I know so little about streaming games, and I don't really watch it either because I cover a lot of TV and there's too much TV, but also no one wants to.
You don't stream people watching TV?
No. I think Twitch wants to move toward that. Yeah. I think they did that with Power Rangers and Mr. Rogers.
Well, next up is anime, my favorite.
I need to give a shout out to your shirt. Yeah.
It's time.
Can we get a close up on that, please? You're like, how do I make this work around the microphone? That's the best shirt ever.
They're wonderful. Anyway,
yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah, a couple more things in this update as well. The arena feature has been updated so that Xbox One players can now create user-generated tournaments for Killer Instinct, which is great. You can do that right from the box. So this is great news for Killer Instinct fans. That's a game that, I'll tell you, that's a game as service that Microsoft, again, it's super, not enough people talking about how good of a fighter that
You know,
it was fine when it launched, and it's like free to play, but sort of not. You could pay $20 to get stuff, but yeah, they've kept evolving that, and now
chugging along.
Yeah, it's doing great. And then the update also adds the ability to instantly sign into your console with a single press of the Xbox button on your controller. Mine automatically signs me in, so
I don't know.
Maybe that's because I still have Kinect hooked up.
Mine sees my dog and registers her as me, so it's pretty cute though, because it's like Phoebe pops up and then it's like, welcome, Terry Schwartz.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, okay.
I will say, so while I do love seeing all these just continued clockwork like improvements to Xbox Live, my constructive criticism would be I feel like Microsoft needs to do a better job of publicizing them. Mm-hmm. Like, they put them on the Xbox Wire blog, but how many people really see that?
Like the homepage or something?
Yeah,
I see them every now and then.
They should have, like, trailers for, like, the coolest stuff from the new updates that you can just watch from your dashboard.
That's the thing. I feel like it should force a trailer. When there's a big update, like, this is a big update. Not necessarily every little one.
Yeah.
But just, like, here's what's new on your console. And, of course, if you want, sure, just skip out of it. But they should make sure every single person who owns the console sees all this neat stuff you can do so that people can actually take advantage of it.
Yeah. I mean, we see like websites and services do that, right? Like, welcome back to this. Here are all the new things you can do. Like, force you to go through that annoying little tutorial, but at least you know. At least you don't miss it.
Yeah, some of those tutorials are like really helpful too. Mm-hmm. Or at least I think they did that with their last really big update, because where you could do the like assisted controller thing where you turn off. I forget exactly how the thing works.
Yeah. I remember what you're talking about. Yeah, but it was sort of a weird thing. I mean, right now it's hard to explain. And so that's one of those things.
I can't even remember what it is, which is
And so that's why you do the tutorial of here's the cliff notes of what this is and why it's cool and how to use it.
Yeah, just all the new settings and stuff. And like, it was helpful before. I was like, wow, that's so cool. I didn't know my Xbox could do that.
Yeah,
I know because of the show.
I know. That's what I was going to say. I was like, well, why do you need a trailer? Well, you can find out on Podcast Unlocked.
Come on, for all your updates.
We're happy to help, but I'm just saying.
No, for sure. Yeah, like them publicizing that a little bit more would be nice.
So, take a look for those when you get your update on your Xbox One. That wraps it up. Not a ton of news this week, but we do have Comic-Con coming up, so we'll cover whatever Xbox-related shenanigans come out of that on next week's show. For now, though, marketplace, what can we spend our money on? It's in the dredges of summer, but there are games out there. I'm going to go to Terry Schwartz, our guest, to take us through the marketplace report. What can we spend our money on?
Well, apparently in retail, nothing.
Still nothing.
Just typical, keep an eye out for that update.
Typical July retail release.
I'm going to totally butcher this, so forgive me, everyone. But in digital, Runbow is free with your gold membership and $15 if you're not a member. But be a member.
Be a member. You're going to get
free games.
Anybody watching this is probably a gold member.
So you're fine. You don't need that second bit after the comma in the parentheses. Cereal Cleaner is $15.
Have you looked at this, Marty?
No.
I forget what this is, but
is this like Viscera cleanup detail?
Go ahead, Miranda.
I don't remember what it is. This thing. I just remember that it was really cool.
Yeah, it's it is sort of Hotline Miami-ish, but it's you're like a janitor cleaning up after some like serial killers come through or something.
Yeah.
Like the premise was really good. I haven't played it yet, though. So.
There was I think Mitch and I did a Let's Play of this game 4 years ago called Viscera Cleanup Detail. And it was like, it's a first person game where you're aboard like a derelict spaceship that just has blood and guts everywhere. So it's like, it's like you came into a level after the other player had just cleared it.
Yeah.
And you have a mop and a bucket and you have to like fill it up with water and like mop
amazing.
Up the blood and like squeeze it out into the bucket and everything. You can like have a physics system so you can knock over your bloody water. And it gets blood all over
again.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Why do I've never heard of that sound.
It wasn't real. It was like one level.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
It wasn't. This was a dream, Mitch and I.
Oh, yeah. A joint dream that you two had together.
You went out and did peyote in the desert. And
Well, invite us next time.
And then he was like, what if there's a Battlefront 2? Yeah. What if I wrote a Star Wars game?
But you're a Sith. Or Empire. Yeah. Empire. Dead Core is $8. Iron Cryptical is $10. And next to this, it says in all capital letters, I think you should have a doctor look at that, which I don't get. I don't
get
that.
It just sounds
reference.
Like a bad medical condition.
Like something you have that in your eye. Okay.
You have iron
all right.
Cryptical.
Yeah. I thought I was
like,
missing something.
I've got the Iron Cryptical. Like, ooh. Yeah.
This is a good deal. Minecraft Story Mode Season 2, Episode 1, $5.
Yeah.
You cannot buy a coffee at Starbucks and buy
you get
this
a full
instead.
Video game.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least Episode 1.
Hour and a half video long video game.
Yeah. It'll last you longer than that coffee.
Telltale, right? It's PC, but there's a Telltale Humble Bundle, which is $15, and you get 15 seasons of
oh, whoa.
That's insane. Bucks.
They've made stuff, too many
incredible.
Games. They should take
it's
a break.
So many.
And should, we're about to get a bunch more announced.
And doesn't the Humble Bundle stuff always goes to charity, correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And you sort of and you organize where it goes to. Like you can sort of like you have a slider of like I want to go to here or here.
This isn't on Retail Report or Marketplace Report, but I have the power, so I will say a Humble Please. Indie bundle is like the best thing you can buy, and do it every time they release one.
They have a lot of awesome different bundles too, like books and comics and sometimes anime.
Humble, they're keeping it humble by being great. MotoGP 17 is $50.
Like that's motorcycles.
That's a lot of money, but if you like motorcycles, then it seems like a good investment. I don't care about motorcycles. You can catch Ryan talking about Teslas on his. podcast. So that's
same difference.
Cars. Hunting Simulator Day 1 Edition is $40. And Black.
Track that bear.
Yeah. No, leave the bear alone. I hope you get got by the bears.
And Black the Fall is $15. I haven't heard of that game, but that is a funny title.
I am reviewing this game right now.
Oh.
And it came like it's late because we became aware of it, and our reviews editor Dan Stapleton was like, you should take a look at this. It is, I mean, I'll have the full analysis in the review, but let's just say it's an inside clone to a extreme degree.
Black the Fall as a title means nothing, says nothing, and it just feels like it's like epic words you can put in titles.
While I was playing the game, and every time I'd be like, wait, what was that game called again? And I'd have to go look in the email to see that Dan Ford would be like, what is it? Oh, okay. And then go into Steam and like, okay,
but
that's what
inside is also just a word. Like Black the Fall or just
worked.
But it works. And and so now, and we all know what that is. And if it's even just a clone of inside was perfect. And so.
But you know what?
Therein lies the problem.
All right. Well, that's a good plug.
The problem for Black the Fall, that is.
In the marketplace, something we all should be playing right now, but instead of recording Podcast Unlocked, the Destiny 2 beta is live.
Yes.
Warlock Master Race. What are you guys going to be playing as?
Oh, Warlock Master Race.
Sorry. I mean,
wow,
what?
I got my definitive.
So it's so funny because it like in all the entertainment videos that I do, every once in a while, someone in the comments will be like, Terry's wearing a warlock necklace. Like, did you notice? And I'm like, yep, Warlock Master Race.
I was just going to bring that up because at the May 18th gameplay reveal event. Yeah. I was like, I noticed your
name. Yeah, I saw Andrea Renee. Her husband, John Drake, bought her one at PAX Prime, but for Titan. And I texted my boyfriend immediately and was like, you cannot come home without buying me the warlock one of these. And fortunately, he did come home and brought me the necklace. And I've worn it every day.
Relationship saved.
I know. Thank goodness.
No longer homeless.
I'm really excited to play the Destiny 2 beta, but cannot until after Comic-Con because everything is timed to make me want to kill myself.
Yeah.
But it's like but Dota.
Titan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Titan.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to touch the beta either, which kind of sucks. Yeah. Just, I mean, we'll all be down
eventually,
there.
Eventually.
Maybe we'll have Sunday. If you come back Sunday early enough.
Maybe.
You can play.
That's right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I've never played Destiny, so I'll find out.
Luke Smith and everyone at Destiny 2 have told us through our IGN First that this is a great place for newcomers to start.
Oh, great.
So you'll be able to jump right in.
Wonderful.
Also, good plug to our Destiny 2 IGN First content.
I like that.
I'm going to be invited back after this. Destin, let me on Fire Team.
So, to be completely honest, I thought the necklace is like a Twin Peaks thing because it almost looks like Twin Peaks.
It looks like something else that now I can't remember.
Away.
But like the Warlock symbol does look like a lot of other.
Like two months.
I like all the brand and like our E3 IGN shirt. I'm like, keep me higher.
You're a walking advertiser. This is great.
Marty, Terry mentioned Hunting Simulator Day 1. Yeah. We're joking about hunting bears.
Bears alone.
There's your next from the makers of the cleanup edition. You get to be the bear.
Ooh.
Hunting, and the hunters are
in
kinda,
VR.
You get to just work with like the deer and like, okay, you skunk, you spray him, distract him, and I'm gonna go claw his face off.
I'm
How about totally a hunting game from the animal's perspective?
The Hunted? Yeah.
The Hunted. Totally that's a good title.
I can get behind this. Yeah.
There's the great outdoors called The Hunted.
I think there's a game we play as like a baby wolf or something. Ooh. Or a
Okami?
Pup. No. Well, maybe it's a bunny. I don't know. There's some games we play as the animal.
I've been playing my own version of Hunting Simulator. It's day one called Stardew Valley, which is I'm very late to, but it's very delightful. And one day I will have time to play it again. July games with gold include Grow Up from July 1st to July 30th, my birthday, on Xbox One.
That's when you're going to grow up. That's your birthday. You add a year.
Plus one.
We're with you, Marty.
Runbow, July 16th to August 15th, Xbox One. Kane and Lynch 2, Dog Days, July 1st to July 15th. So I think you missed it. Sorry, yeah. I'm not even going to tell you what it was on. And Lego Pirates of the Caribbean, the video game, July 16th to July 31st on Xbox 360 and Xbox One.
Good stuff.
Ooh, did it. Thanks. That was fun. I was a bit scared. This wasn't as scary as Game Scoop 20 questions.
I don't know how that's scary. You just ask a question.
Like, if you watch that, you could see me like fully tense. And then it was an NES game released in the 80s. And I was like, well,
that narrows it down.
That narrows it down to something Justin Davis and Sam Claiborne will figure out. And I didn't ask a single question after that. But Sam got it. Ooh, spoiler on question on question 19. And you can watch that podcast to find out.
That is so specific.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we do play a little trivia game, but it's a no stress.
And once again,
no, this is still
game.
Stressful, okay. Honestly.
You have the answer on here somewhere? No.
Heavens no. So Tom from Kent in the UK asks, which of the following voice actors have not appeared in one of the last three games set in the Elder Scrolls universe? So he's specifically referring, you've got Oblivion, you've got Skyrim, and then Elder Scrolls Online as well, which has been, of course, a continually evolving game. They had the Morrowind expansion.
They had a bear, too.
They had a bear as well.
Absolutely had a bear. Yeah, incredible bear.
So which of these four has not been a voice in one of those games? Sean Bean, Patrick Stewart, Kate Beckinsale, or Kurt Russell? Quite the A-list lineup right there.
Does anyone know immediately? Because I don't.
I think I know.
Marty's got that look in his eye.
Process of elimination.
Oh, exactly. What do you think, Marty? Wow.
I guess Destin's not here, so I'm feeling good. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got Marty in the lead for the year at 10 points. Oh. Destin at 8, Alana at 7. And hopefully we'll get you two ladies on the board as well.
A big old fat zero.
Yeah, I'm like, one day.
Something.
I might have the best, if I get it right, I might have the best, like,
the ratio.
Yeah. Terry, 100% of the time.
Terry, you need to know this. You cover entertainment. These are four large actors.
I haven't played Elder Scrolls Online or Oblivion. I know.
Yeah, but you don't know the entire filmography, discography, and demography of these actors?
I think I remember Sean Bean being in one.
One time I started playing Skyrim, and then I was like, why don't I play Fallout? And then I did that.
I was like, oh, fair.
It's funny. I've said this before on this podcast, but this happened actually just – I had lunch with a friend of mine who works in the industry, and it's like there is a weird thing where even though they're both Bethesda Game Studios products and they're both the same genre, first-person, open-world, endless role-playing games, people seem to either – really prefer, I'm not saying like straight up don't like the other, but people tend to really lean either like you're a Fallout fan or you prefer the Elder Scrolls games.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really neat.
One's like Miranda more Fallout? Dystopian yeah. sci-fi oh, yeah. and yeah. one's more fantasy, and I think that people sort of fall into the
yeah, I'm an Elder Scrolls person.
Yeah, I like fantasy games. It's just I was playing, I was like, wow, Fallout's so good, and then I played Fallout. I was like, man, I haven't played that in a while. I had just picked up the game. I mean, I got it after it came out.
Yeah.
So do we all make a guess?
I'm gonna let Marty go last since he seems the most confident. I don't want him to influence your thought process here.
I'm Mary? Gonna guess. I mean, there are three Brits and one American on here, but I'm still gonna guess Patrick Stewart.
Okay, you can go Patrick Stewart. Miranda,
it's Kurt Russell.
You're going Kurt Russell? Mm-hmm. Okay. Marty?
I'm also going with Kurt Russell.
Yes!
I know Sean Bean and Patrick Stewart have been in games.
Oh, well. Yeah.
And then I'm a big Kurt Russell fan, so I feel like I would have known if he was in one of these games. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm going Kurt Russell.
You two are, in fact, correct. It was Kurt Russell.
Well,
has not appeared in an Elder Scrolls.
Yeah,
Patrick Stewart was he was in Oblivion. He had a prominent
he was the
role.
King, right?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
In Oblivion, right?
Womp.
But that's all right.
All right, guys.
It's all right. You're tied with Mitch now for zero points.
You have to come back.
No, I'm like, great.
I'm going to add Miranda to the scoreboard.
Yay.
All right, Miranda at one, and Destin's going to be real mad that you got another point. Marty,
good for doing your job.
11. Good stuff. If you would like to help play our little trivia game here, send your Xbox-related trivia questions to us. The email address is unlocked@IGN.com. Please include 4 multiple-choice answers. Please note the correct one in your email, and I will happily choose a good one for next week's show. That wraps it up. So, time to plug ourselves.
Well, first,
everything
so
we're up to.
I will start with.
Not like we have a deal.
Or are we doing? Okay, so you can follow me on Twitter at @Terry_Schwartz. But because I am not going to get to film Fireteam Chat while I'm up here, I also want you all to tweet at Destin and tell him that you want me on Fireteam Chat. Fran too, if you feel like it. I don't know their Twitter handles offhand, but I also want to plug. I'm doing something super cool at Comic Con beyond just regular Comic Con. We're doing a panel called IGN's Game Changers, and actually, we're going to have Cliffy B, and which
he doesn't like to be called.
I know.
That.
Clifford Blazinski, which is how I will introduce him on the panel. Also, Carlton Cuse, Gail Ann Hurd, and Jeff Johns are going to be gathered together for a panel and moderating, just like talking about changing trends in the industry. I'm super excited about
it. You have to ask Cliff about his dog game.
I will ask him about his dog.
Very important to me.
Yeah. Originally, Hideo Kojima was actually supposed to be on it, but unfortunately had to cancel his trip to Comic-Con. So maybe next year, hopefully we get to do it again. We are not going to be able to live stream the panel. It's happening Thursday night from 5 to 6. So if you're there, please come check it out. It will be awesome. I'm really excited about it. But we will be airing snippets of it during our Comic-Con live stream, which you can find. And then we also will run the full panel on video on demand after 24 hours, which is Comic-Con's role. Plugging that, I'm really excited. And then obviously our Comic-Con live stream is going to be on Twitter, just like E3. Wait, I have the dates memorized, or the times memorized. I'm making this be the longest outro ever.
Yeah,
but this is all on brand. Someone is going to be really happy that I'm doing this right now. So Wednesday at Comic-Con, we are going to be live from 8 to 9 for our pre-show, which is going to be exclusive to Twitter. Everything else is going to be streaming across all our platforms. So if you watch our E3 coverage, same deal with Comic-Con. On Thursday, we're going to be 3 to 7. Friday, also 3 to 7. And then Saturday, which is the biggest day of Comic-Con, it's the Warner Brothers panel and the Marvel Studios panel, so Justice League and Infinity War. That's going to be 12 to 3 and 5:30 to 8:30. If I'm wrong, just sorry. I think that's right, though. I'm pretty sure that's right.
Kingdom Hearts saw us. Numbers don't matter.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Just watch.
Miranda, what are you up to?
Okay, well, you can find me on Twitter and pretty much everywhere else at Havoc Grossman's Havoc with a K. And right now we
Havoc like the physics middleware.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Right?
Yeah. It is just like that's Rose exactly like what it was. but yeah, so we will be filming the Disney show. So check that out Monday through Friday at 9:30 or online at theigenshow.com. We're also on our YouTube, I think.
Yep.
I'm also working on some anime things. I'm reviewing Tokyo Ghoul's live action movie, which is... You'll see.
Yay, anime.
Yeah. So just kind of doing that. Mostly just focusing on the Disney show right now. Just because it's a big thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hopefully get a game review soon. And I'm very excited because I haven't reviewed a game since Gravity Rush.
We can't say what it is, but it's a game that this podcast would be interested in.
Yes. So I'm very excited to talk about that.
Halo 6.
Surprise!
Surprise!
You play as a grunt.
You play as a grunt.
My dream.
Play that.
Yeah. I love grunts.
Grunts are great.
They are the best.
Yeah. I completely agree.
They have great dialogue. Anyway.
Battlegrounds.
We need firefight mode to come back, but with the Gears 3 style mode where you could play as the enemy.
2011 summer, I only played Halo Reach firefight for like, that's it. Like none of the other things, I'm terrible at PvP, but firefight was my thing. I was like, I could pop some heads.
Yeah, it was incredible.
I'm surprised. I'm still surprised it hasn't. Like Warzone's great, don't get me wrong, but I'm surprised that firefight has yet to return.
Or had like a version of it in Destiny. Like I guess sort of Archon's Forge, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
it's not the same.
Sure.
Yeah, Miranda knows.
Somewhere Destiny screaming, or Destin screaming. I called him Destiny. Same difference. Well,
I think he chose that name for a reason. Just preternaturally knew.
Destiny?
Yeah.
He'll answer to both. It's fine. Marty?
You can find me at Mick Biggity with 2 G's and 2 T's. I will also be down at Comic-Con handling a bunch of games coverage. We're going to have stuff on Crackdown 3 and Shadow of War. Hopefully some Xbox One X stuff. Mario, some new Lego games, bunch of stuff. So check that out.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. I'm on Twitter at DMC underscore Ryan. The newest IGN Unfiltered show went up last week. That is with Warren Spector, who is one of my favorite people in the games industry ever, because he made Deus Ex, System Shock, Ultima Underworld, Epic Mickey. Kind of a good resume.
And he has a fantastic name.
Yeah.
Warren Spector is just like the coolest name ever. He's like, that's like what you're... The boss who gives you quests in Deus Ex would be named.
Would be. Like,
JC, this is Warren Spector. Exactly. It works. It's
very dramatic.
Yeah. And what else? Yeah, I guess that's my review of Black the Fall.
The best name.
Should be live around the time that you hear or see this. So keep
you
an
know
eye
why
on
it. Called that yet?
No. I'm right near the end of the game right now. I haven't finish it, and then I'm going to sit down and write afterwards. So I'm waiting to see what
you fall
is.
A lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
there's some shadows, so there's some
falling.
Black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
you're also going to be one of like three people keeping IGN running while we're all scrambling at Comic-Con. Yeah.
That makes me important.
That does make you important.
All right. For Marty, Miranda, and the wonderful debut appearance. On-brand appearance of Eric Schwartz. I'm Ryan. This was Unlock 305. Thank you all so much, and we will return with more Xbox goodness next week.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.